Welcome everyone to today's ILTA 20-minute podcast titled Revolutionizing Document Intake and Processing at Law Firms with AI-Powered Solutions. I'm your moderator today, Hadi Dubad-Baklis. I'm a Senior Project Manager in Legal Operations at CBRE. I'm thrilled to be joined by Vivek Rao, who's the CEO at Foundation AI. Welcome, Vivek. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Thanks, Harriet. It's great to be here. So Vivek Rao, I'm co-founder and CEO of Foundation AI. We specialize in delivering intelligent document processing solutions to law firms. And so right now we're really focused on streamlining a lot of the mundane, you know, non-legal, non-billable, clerical and administrative work that really bogs down, you know, attorneys and firms. Prior to Foundation AI, I was corporate counsel for a healthcare AI company. And I also spent nearly a decade in insurance defense. So high volume litigation.
Okay, very cool. So let's start with the current landscape for law firms. So how are most firms today managing their inbound documents and correspondence, you know, getting things in, routing them, processing them, getting to the right people, and ultimately filing them?
Yeah, so, you know, legal practice, obviously very document intensive. So there's all sorts of different, you know, we'll call it, let's say, categories of documents that firms receive. When we think of documents, you know, many of us think of discovery. So in complex litigations, that might be the large dumps of physical and electronic information, you know, large document productions. These days, I think most of that is loaded into e-discovery platforms, and it's a pretty mature industry. Less complex, run-of-the-mill litigation, insurance events type stuff, personal injury, you know, a lot of medical records. I think firms usually procure, I think these days, most of that through medical record retrieval companies. They go and deal with the providers. They get all those records, copy them, you know, bring them into the firm. Either they, you know, send them to them or the firm downloads them from a portal. You know, insurance defense, you often get large consolidated documents, that kind of the way you get referred your cases from your clients. Often that's the entire claim file in one massive PDF, and you have sort of armies of clerks that go through and sort it all out, remove the duplicates, classify the documents, name them. And then for most firms, you know, especially like the high volume, you know, litigation practices, the majority of the documents and correspondence they actually deal with is what we'll call just the daily correspondence, whether that's letters, you know, correspondence from clients, third parties, the pleadings, motions, court filings, notices, medical reports, if there's ongoing treatment, just, you know, a ton of the everyday stuff that comes in during the pendency of a matter. And so many firms, you know, they still receive a fair amount of physical mail. Believe it or not, firms receive faxes, especially if they're dealing with healthcare. Most of that's now, you know, e-fax, so it's not actually getting printed out on the old carbon paper. Common centralized mailboxes to receive court notices and things like that. And then a ton of emails, attachments that just get sent to people on the case team, whether that's the attorneys themselves, paralegals, legal assistants. This is ILTA. So, you know, for this discussion and for the, I'm sure the kinds of firms we're talking about, you know, most of us have digital practice management systems, or at least, you know, digital document management systems. So we're not talking about the big physical red wells and the mailroom distribution as much. But from what we've seen, you know, a lot of the processes haven't changed much from there. So, you know, regardless of how these documents come into the firm, getting them properly organized into that document management system is generally a very manual, time-consuming, you know, inconsistent and often error-prone task. You know, it usually starts with scanning batches of mail or somebody opening up all those emails and downloading those attachments. And then, you know, matter matching, as we'll call it. So looking at the document, looking in the case management system to associate each document with the right matter. And often the firm's internal matter ID is not on those documents. Yeah. You know, if you're an insurance defense and you're representing the same employers often, you've got lots of case captions that are the same employer name, same, you know, plaintiff names and same defendants. And so you're looking at other metadata, whether that's claim numbers or case numbers or medical reports, it might be name and, you know, date of birth, to just match it to the right matter in the first place.
Yeah.
And then from there, I think it really depends on the firm, right? Some firms we've seen now, they have pretty well organized, consistent folder structures and naming conventions. And so it might be a file clerk that's tasked with classifying that document. So, you know, figuring out what it actually is and what folder it's going to go into, renaming it with something descriptive, like, you know, a lot of times a common naming protocol that firms would like to implement and to varying degrees of compliance that they have. and then putting it in the right place and alerting the responsible person. But other firms, you know, we see a lot of times, especially with really busy ones, the staff just, you know, figures out the matter and then just routes it. They might put it in a shared folder. They might just email it to everyone on the case team. And then it's, you know, varying degrees of sort of process and how that actually gets put into the right place or named process and varying degrees of compliance. And so, you know, I think as firms shift to this new digital paradigm, they're finding a lot of problems with these workflows. You know, first, hard time finding people like the clerks that can do this and do it well. You know, knowing what documents what, it does take some knowledge. And so to find people that do it well and don't make mistakes and care, because it is a kind of mundane, thankless, you know, rote job, can be a problem, and mistakes can be very costly. You know, something gets classified incorrectly or put in the wrong file, or a workflow doesn't get triggered, they don't alert the responsible person, that could be catastrophic. And so, but even when you have a skilled person, a paralegal or even the attorney doing it, then you've got people who are overworked, spending a lot of time on these non-billable, pretty low value, mundane tasks. And, you know, you got that problem there. So I'd say that's what we see as the state of how things are going now. You know, you've obviously got some experience in it too, but
yeah,
how well that tracks.
That tracks entirely. And it sounds like, you know, a lot of times it really sounds like a scavenger hunt. You know, what am I going to find today? And where am I going to put it in the right place? And something I've also seen is a lot of duplication where people are so afraid of not getting the right documents to the right people that they just create multiple copies and they send it in digital and then they scan it in. And yeah. So
and then you've also got just data all over the place, multiple copies of things, very hard to track from a compliance perspective, especially now with, you know, sensitive information. So yeah, huge problem.
Yeah. So how has AI and other technology changed this process? It sounds like not quite enough yet, but and what are some of the direct benefits of adopting that kind of tech?
Yeah. I mean, well, so AI, you know, is a tool to help solve a problem like anything else in the, you know, the way I think about it. But a lot of enabling technologies have come in that make it possible, I think, in this sense. So obviously, you know, digital document management systems, they've changed the game, right? That's table stakes for a lot of firms to be able to organize this information properly. But having everything, you know, the ability to use those well, to find everything, to find what you need, to quickly search, to get data from all these documents, it is largely reliant on having, you know, well-organized information in the system. And historically, because these documents are unstructured, you know, and all over the place, that's always required human effort. You know, the good thing with AI, I think, as we think about it as a tool, is it's taken us a long way forward from this traditional OCR and just, you know, keyword-based classification and template-based extraction. It's taken us a long way forward. To use AI, though, to use it well, cloud technology has been integral. I mean, it's pretty well settled now. And I think now that we're seeing law firms accept that cloud is generally more secure than on-prem. And as clients have embraced cloud, law firms are more willing to do so. And that really enables us to leverage real AI models at scale and cost effectively. And that's been a big change that's enabled AI to really take a lot of this work and streamline it. You know, we've all heard of LLMs now. Everyone's heard about, obviously, ChatGPT. But there are more like lightweight transformer-based neural networks, you know, BERT, these things that can be really trained for specific purposes very well. And so trained to be very effective at some of this more bespoke classification, so to a firm's particular conventions, information extraction, and then used, you know, very cost-effectively for a lot of these automation tasks. So these really high-volume rule-based tasks, I think, are perfectly suited for AI to come in now and help. So for example, in our platform, you know, it integrates all those upstream data sources we talked about, scanners, email boxes, case management systems, and integrates it with the case management systems and with the downstream document management systems, and really serves as this connector or glue to connect everything together. So automatically opening those attachments, PDFing the email bodies and everything, putting them together, classifying everything, automatically doing those lookups, putting them in the right place according to a firm's, you know, their particular organization structure, pulling information out of these documents to name it to their conventions, and even going deeper, extracting specific information, you know, triggering workflows. So for example, pulling out calendar or hearing information from a notice and being able to automatically set up calendar events, depending on the integration with the firm's downstream systems. These are the types of things that we can now do with an AI platform. And the benefits, you know, consistency, right? You program in that rule set and those best practices and those workflows once, and then the system just follows them. Efficiency, you know, not just eliminating sort of the bottleneck of getting documents to the right place, which for a lot of firms is a big bottleneck, but also, you know, just freeing people up to focus their time on more meaningful work, not sitting around just doing, you know, data entry. From an HR perspective, that's been huge for a lot of our customers. I think technology like this helps solve a lot of their problems. It's harder to find people to do mundane kind of clerical work. And then also training them if you do need people. It's much easier to leverage what amounts to like an AI-powered decision support software than to train people by from scratch to know what all these things are. So I think those are some of the big benefits that firms see when they adopt technology like this.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, right? People don't want to spend their days and their lives doing that mundane rote work, as you explained earlier. So it's easier to keep them there if they're doing something more interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
So what are some expectations to have in mind when onboarding tech? And I'm going to throw this aside in, other than AI is not a magic button. We know that, but you know, sometimes that's kind of a tricky thing to get across. And then talk a little bit too about how we know that firms generally have varying levels of integration between case management, document management, and all their systems. So what are some things to keep in mind and kind of tricky things to avoid?
Yeah, so that's a good one. And you're right, because firms do have varying degrees of not just integration between their systems, but process. So I think the biggest driving factor for a firm is really to understand their current process and their desired process. A lot of firms have built process, especially, you know, the more regionals that don't have necessarily operations managers and COOs, but just built process organically as it's grown. And as they've grown in size, they still have processes that don't necessarily suit them any longer. And so with our software, you know, the system gets mapped to the firm's processes, to its folder structure, and so in automating the workflows it chooses. So that definitely lessens the institutional learning curve of adopting a technology like this, which is huge. Also, luckily, you know, attorneys and paralegals don't generally see, if we're talking about something like this and we're automating the clerical administrative, it's not the attorneys and paralegals that have to learn to use it or see it. And so that's obviously a massive benefit for change management. Change management of attorney behaviors is very difficult.
I'm aware. They see the results,
meaning, you know, they're no longer being asked to do this like mundane work. And so they just see things are just magically organized in their files. And that's awesome. It's like you hired a bunch of really great staff for them. And so that makes it a lot easier. As long as the firm is cloud-based, as far as you know, I think that the technology is much easier to implement than you'd think. Intake side, lots of ways to get all the upstream stuff. You know, most firms are on Office 365. Microsoft has great APIs that allow you to deal with all the varying emails pretty easily and integrate there. Same with scanners, shared folders, lots of ways now to integrate the upstream. And then, you know, with the case management and practice, with the case management and document management, a lot of firms we deal with are on these integrated systems now, like Elite, ProLaw, Litify, Filevine, Clio. But also, even if they're on like a best of breed suite, you know, they might have Aderant for billing or iManage or Net Documents for document management. Most of these softwares now are more interoperable than you'd think. It's a lot of them now have APIs, whether that's open or hybrid API they allow their customers to access, or they work with preferred integration partners. And so for a lot of our customers, they actually have these disparate systems, and then our software comes in, we integrate it all together. So we really function as the connector between all these things to connect them where they weren't previously connected. You know, thankfully this isn't healthcare. Which I was before. Most modern systems do have APIs, and they are really all moving toward, I think, interoperability, which is great. So, yeah.
Yeah, from a client perspective, that's one of the first things I ask is, what do you integrate with? Because if you're not integrating with anything that I'm already using, it's basically dead in the water.
100%. And even with these systems that don't have, you know, APIs, for example, there are definitely ways to integrate this. If you think about what you need from a case management system, even if they don't have APIs, most of them have the ability to export, let's say, the matter information in some way. So there's always workarounds. And then, you know, with integrated, most of them have ways to post into Matters because they've all integrated with scanners or other things that, you know, so it might've been that historically you had to enter the Matter ID information and all of that at the point of intake. And now we're just automating a lot of that out of it, but they have ways to integrate in. So it's, and most of them are open to this sort of thing because it makes their products easier to use, more sticky, and makes the customers happier. So we've never really had a challenge integrating with really any system out there.
Cool. So I have to address the, you know, there's always skepticism. I've been in law long enough to wear cloud when I was still working in law firm. Cloud was like the big scary thing. So there's a lot of skepticism in the industry when it comes to AI. Tell me about the controls that are needed to kind of assuage some of those skepticisms and concerns, and how humans are very much still part of the overall process.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it, right? Humans are very much part of the process. You know, I always say that anyone who claims AI is going to do everything is just, it's not, and it shouldn't, right? Like, it's our system, it's not a Terminator, it's an Iron Man. It enables people to operate more effectively, more efficiently, and do the things they're more suited to do. But people are very much in the process. You know, it's similar to clinical decision support software in healthcare or predictive coding in e-discovery. You know, these technologies, they employ what we'll call human in the loop automation, where there are confidence of scores associated with each prediction, and the system calls in humans to validate low confidence decisions. You know, and that's based on the firm's preference. So what's low confidence to one firm might not be the same to another. And it might not even be the same for this for different documents or even different fields on documents. And so, you know, another part of human in the loop is obviously this continuous feedback loop, right? That as people are being called in to validate the lower confidence decisions, the system learns from that iteratively, refines it, and improves the models and accuracy. Now, about the kind of customers being able to set their own guardrails, confidence scores for a lot of systems like ours, for example, these thresholds can definitely be set based on customer preferences. So for example, you know, you might set a higher threshold for pulling information out of a hearing notice, because that's going to automatically trigger a workflow like calendaring a hearing. So you might say, unless the system is 99.9% confidence, or it doesn't matter, we want a person to get their eyes on every single one of those extractions, then you can do that. And even so, because it's doing it automatically, now this person is double checking essentially through the user interface rather than doing it all in the complete manual fashion, it's still much, much faster. But then they could also say that with kind of standard correspondence and things like that, you know, it's going to get to an attorney to review. And so the automation is around getting it to the right place as quickly as possible and eliminating that bottleneck. And so they might say, hey, as long as we know it's the right matter, right? And it's going to the right place, and by the matter, you know who the responsible party is because you can set rules. If it's a, you know, this type of document, it should go to the paralegal, this type of document to the handling attorney or whatnot. And all those get automated and, you know, seamlessly get applied every time. But then if your goal is just to automate that process and get it to the right place, you might have a lower threshold for information extraction from the document, thinking of it as a suggestive prompt, but the attorney ultimately is going to look at the document and can fix it or correct it. So, you know, I think that knowing that humans are involved in the process and that a firm can set their own comfort level down to the in very, very granular fashion to what they want their people to review, I think that is the ultimate guardrail to a system like this. And I think you need to make sure a crawl, walk, run approach to these things, I think, is always best, right? Like, firms should be cautious and should move a little slow with AI. That, you know, that lawyer in New York we all know about who wrote that brief ChatGPT and saw all kinds of, you know, like, obviously, we're talking about high stakes, you know, and big decisions we're making for our clients. And so it is important to be cautious and to be skeptical. I mean, we're lawyers, right? We should be skeptical of new things, but, you know, trust but verify. And that's the concept, I think, with using technology like this in practice.
Yeah. And I've worked in legal tech for a while now. One of the things that I always set the expectation from the start is that this is going to be iterative. This is not your one chance to tell me what you need, and then you never get to chime in again. And I think that's huge. That also makes people feel like, okay, we can try this because it's not forever.
Yeah. And it's important because people don't know what they don't know. So Once you start using something, you know, the workflows might change. And oftentimes people first, you know, they want the faster horse. So they might just try to automate the same workflow they have. And then after getting some comfort level, they can refactor that to make it make more sense. So we see that often where firms at first, hey, let's just streamline, you know, the process we have. And then they realize that, oh, there are ways to not have this have to go to an attorney and waste the attorney's time. Instead now, okay, it does make sense that someone at a lower level using this decision support can actually do this job well, and we can free the attorney up to spend their time on higher value work or the paralegal or whatnot. And so it allows people to operate more effectively. And then you can take a lot of this, a lot of tasks that are right now being put that are under the pay grade of the people who are doing it, and actually have other people kind of practice to the height of their ability by leveraging technology to be more effective and efficient at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Vivek. This was fascinating, and I feel like we could talk about it a lot longer. So thank you for joining today. Thank you for your expertise, and thank you to the audience who will be listening and watching soon. I hope everyone has a great day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Harriet. And thank you all. It's a pleasure to be here.